Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text Number 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maunani Hanilayama. Danda Vagdeha Chetasam. Na yete yasya santyanga. Venu bhirna bhavedyati. Maunanani hani layama. Danda vagdeha chetasam. Na yete yasya santyanga. Venu bhirna bhavedyati. Maunananiha nilayama. Danda vagdeha chetasam. Na yete yasya santyanga. Venu bhirna bhavedyati. Mauna. Avoiding useless speech. Aniha, giving up fruitive activities. Anila ayama, controlling the breathing process. Dandaha, strict disciplines. Vak, of the voice. Deha, of the body. Chetasam, of the mind. Na, not. He, indeed. Ete, these disciplines. Yasya, of whom. Santi, exist. Anga, my dear Uddhava. Venubhi, by bamboo rods. Na, never. Bhavet, is. Yatihi, a real sannyasi. Translation. One who has not accepted the three internal disciplines of avoiding useless speech, avoiding useless activities, and controlling the life air can never be considered a sannyasi merely because of his carrying bamboo rods. Please repeat. One who has not accepted the three internal disciplines.
One who has not accepted the three internal disciplines.
Of avoiding useless speech.
Avoiding useless activities.
And controlling the life air. Can never be considered a sannyasi. merely because of his carrying bamboo rods. Purport. The word danda indicates the staff carried by those in the renounced order of life. And danda also indicates severe discipline. The Vaishnava sannyasis accept a staff made of three bamboo rods. Three danda. Signifying dedication of the body, mind and words to the service of the Supreme Lord. Here, Lord Krishna says that one must first accept these three dandas or disciplines, namely control of the voice, body and mind. Voice, body and mind. Within oneself, the practice of anila yama or pranayama, regulating the life air, is meant to control the mind, and one who always thinks of service to the Lord Krishna has certainly achieved the perfection of pranayama. Merely carrying the three external dandas without assimilating the internal dandas of bodily, mental and vocal discipline can never make one an actual Vaishnava sannyasi, as explained here by Lord Krishna himself. In the Hamsa Gita section of Mahabharata and in Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, there are instructions regarding the sannyas order of life. A conditioned soul who adopts only the external ornaments of Tridanda sannyas will not actually be able to control the senses. One who takes sannyas for false prestige, making a show of saintliness without actual advancement of in Krishna Kirtan, will soon be vanquished by the external energy of the Lord. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is the description of Varnashram system. What is Varnashram system? That we are studying here under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself. He is giving these very important instructions to his dearmost devotee, Uddhava. And we are also learning from Uddhava and the great devotees how to assimilate these instructions in our life, how to understand these most important instructions of Lord Krishna and put it in practice in our life. So, after studying the three other varnas, what are the three other varnas? Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. Now, finally, the Lord is explaining sannyas. Who is the real sannyasi that we are studying right now? So, somebody can ask the question. We are not even sannyasi, we are not even close to sannyas. Why do we have to study this sannyas order of life? Because generally, sannyas is reserved for only one group of people. Who is that? The brahmanas. Brahmanas are recommended to take sannyas in the varnashram system. The kshatriyas, they are not, generally speaking, they are not recommended to take sannyas. They can take vanaprastha, but usually not sannyas. And grihastha, after the kshatriya, vaishyas, business people, they are very rarely even considering vanaprastha, what to speak of sannyas. And Shudras, they never think of sannyas. They don't even think about taking sannyas. They are happy with their work and whatever facilities they get. So sannyas order is a very high order, and it is recommended for very high class people. Those who can follow the orders very strictly, those who can discipline themselves, and those who agree to be completely disciplined by the higher authorities. That is the requirement, that is the qualification of getting sannyas. One must be totally dedicated. So we're going to look at this verse from that angle today. Hare Krishna. So, as Lord Krishna is addressing Uddhava here, and he's describing the real sannyasi and the fake one, the difference between the real and the fake one, because in this day and age, there's a lot of fake people who dress themselves as sadhus, saintly personalities, gurus, sannyasis, etc. So, unless and until one is completely familiar with what is real and what is fake, he can always be cheated. There's a very good chance he'll be cheated for sure. Because if you go in the society, you can say very safely 90% of the people who are dressing themselves as saintly people are faking. So we'll be discussing about them also today. But first of all, we have to know who is the real one, as Lord Krishna is describing here. So sannyasi usually carries a danda. Vaishnav sannyas means three danda, three bamboo sticks he's carrying, tied together. So, what is the meaning of these three bamboo sticks? So, Lord Krishna is saying, there is no meaning to these three bamboo sticks. If you carry these three bamboo sticks, that does not make you a sannyasi. Unless and until you internalize the significance of these three sticks, what they actually represent, is the body, mind, and speech. If you can control your body, if you can control your mind, if you can control your speech, these three very important things, if you can control them, then you are a real sannyasi. Otherwise, merely carrying the danda does not make you a sannyasi. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, gives the definition of a real sannyasi, of a real devotee. Ihar yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira nikhilashu api avasthasu nikhilashu api avasthasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Who is the real devotee? Karmana manasa gira. That is the same thing. Speech, body and mind. Karmana means karma, work. Manasa, mind, and gira means speech. So unless until these three important items are completely Hare Dasya, in the service of Lord Shri Krishna, used, these three items, if you are able to use them all the time, Nikhila api avastasu means 24 hours. In any condition, any situation, you go in any part of the world, anywhere, you are able to use these three items completely, totally in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you are real devotee, you are real sannyasi. That is the verdict of Rupa Goswami. And Lord Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, text 34, says, Man mana bhava mad bhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. 18th chapter, text number 65. He's repeating this verse actually, only this is the one verse that is repeated two times. First time in the 9th chapter, text number 34. And the same thing, first line he's saying in the 18th chapter again. So you can understand the importance of it. That who is the real devotee? So he's actually saying, you become like this, man mana. First thing is the mana, mind. You must keep your mind inside Krishna. That means engaged in the service of Krishna. Always. Mind is the main thing. Therefore he's saying it first. Then you become bhakta, Krishna's devotee. And how to become devotee of Krishna? That we are already familiar, we are studying every day. 9 different ways we can become devotee of Krishna. Practicing 9 different ways. Madhyaji. And you perform yajan. Yajan means sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? Sankirtan yajna. You perform every day Sankirtan yajna. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Every day you go to Krishna and offer your obeisances. So these are the 4 items he's recommending 2 times in Bhagavad Gita to become a pure devotee. He's not asking for any 5th item or 6th item. No, he has a very short list, 4 items. You fulfill this, then you are a pure devotee. And he says, Mame Vaishyas, you will definitely come back to me, back to Godhead. Satyam te, this is the truth I am telling you. Pratijane priyosime, I am taking pratigya, I am taking a vow, I'm promising you from the bottom of my heart. And you are my dearmost devotee. That's why I'm telling you this. So, we are very fortunate to take advantage of this particular instructions from Lord Krishna. How to become pure devotee. So once you become pure devotee, automatically you can become a sannyasi. That we will be looking at a little later. But there are other things Lord Krishna is also saying in Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, text number 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. With bhakti, with devotion, nitya yukta, every day, completely absorbed in worshipping me. Satatam kirtayanto, because we are talking about speech here today. Where your speech should be? Satatam kirtan, always kirtan of Krishna, Krishna kirtam. Satatam means constantly, 24 hours. You must 24 hours do Krishna kirtan. Kirtayanto mam. Yatantascha, with a making very big effort. You have to work hard for it. Dridavrata, taking a very drida vrata means vows. Taking the vows for it. Drida means determination. So, and namasyanta, paying obeisances. Again, he's saying paying obeisances. So, paying obeisances means body. Kirtan means the speech. We're talking about 3 things, right? Mind, body and speech. So, here is the instruction and here is the description that Krishna is giving. So who can do this satatam kirtayanto? Who can do constant kirtan of Krishna? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, there is a way to do it. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi saishtuna amanena maradena kirtaniya sadhare. You have to become humbler than a blade of grass. Trinadapi. Tolerant, more tolerant than the tree. Amanena, and don't expect any respect from anyone. and give respect to everybody. Amane na mane dena. Then you can do kirtan 24 hours. Kirtaniya sadahari. This is the qualification required. So this is only possible when you become the humble servant of the Guru. You become the humble servant of the Vaishnavas and perform devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So, that is the recommendation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the recommendation of Lord Krishna. And in the chapter of Bhakti Yoga, 12th chapter, text number 2, Lord Krishna again is describing these kind of devotees, the real sadhus. Mayyavesya manoye maam nitya yukta upasate shraddaya parayo peta theme yukta tamo mata. This is my mata, this is my decision. Who is the best devotee? Who is the best sadhu? Yukta tama. So he's describing here, mayyavesya mana. Mana, again, the mind. His mind is totally absorbed in my thought. He is always thinking about me. Mayyaveshya mano nitya yukta upasate. He is always worshipping me. He is always serving me with all his heart. Shraddaya paryopeta. And he has 100% full faith in me. This is the description of my best devotees. That is how Krishna is describing in the 12th chapter. Then he gives other options, that if you cannot become the best devotee right away, then you do like this. If you can't do like this, then do like that. He's giving different options in the 12th chapter. But first thing he's recommending is that this is the best. And then again, in the 10th chapter, text number 9, he is describing his best devotees. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. What is that? Machitta means, again, the mind, chetasa. The word in this verse is chetasam. Chetasam means, also you can say consciousness or the mind. Cheto darpana marjanam. So chetasa is the consciousness and the mind. And Krishna says his consciousness, his mind is totally absorbed in me. Machitta, madgata prana. His wholeheartedly, his whole existence, his life is absorbed in serving me. Madgata prana. His life is depending on me, he's saying. Bodhayanta, and what is his activity? The devotees, they are speaking about me all the time. They are describing Krishna Katha. And they are performing Krishna Kirtan. When we perform Krishna Kirtan, Sankirtan, this is what it is. Bodhayanta parasparam. I am chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then you are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When I am chanting, you are hearing, and when you are chanting, I am hearing. So hearing and chanting is bodhayanta parasparam, going on. Or when I am talking about Krishna, you are hearing, or when you are talking about Krishna, I am hearing. So this is called bodhayanta parasparam. So Lord Krishna says, what is the activity, what is the pleasure, what is the happiness of my devotees? Bodhayanta parasparam. They're always talking about me. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, also there is a description of this kind of great devotees, the best devotees. Ambrish Maharaj is described, Savai mana krishna padaravindayo vachansi vaikuntha gunanu varnane karau harer mandira marjanadishu. Savai mana means, again, the mind. Mind is krishna padaravinde. At the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, his mind is always fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Savai mana. And vachansi, his words are Vaikuntha Guna, he is describing Krishna with his speech. And Karav and his hands is part of the body. So we're talking about mind, body, and speech. So all three are covered. Karav, with the hands, he is worshipping, he's cleaning the temple, he is worshipping the deity of the Lord. He's doing the aarti offering, etc. So this is the description of the pure devotees, the Ambarish Maharaj and all the pure devotees. What are their activities? That is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, these are the qualifications of sannyas. If somebody wants to become sannyasi, then he has to discipline his mind to do these three things. 100%. Then he can become a real sannyasi. Krishna says here, not by simply carrying a danda. That there are so many people in India, if you go, they are carrying dandas. But they are not sannyasis. Even the policemen, they are carrying danda. So, that does not qualify. That is Krishna's statement here. And Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction says, the real pure devotee, The first verse is describing Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jivva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, Etan Vegan, Yo Vishahet Dhira Sarvam, Apimam Pruthavim Sashishyat. Vacho Vegam means speech again. That everybody wants to talk. Even the birds, as soon as they wake up in the morning, they want to talk. They start talking. Chirping. If you know the bird language, you will understand what they are talking about. Krishna knows all the languages, so he knows what the birds are saying. The monkeys, they start talking to each other. All the animals, they are talking. And people also, they start talking. So, this is called Vacho Vegam. As soon as we meet somebody, we want to talk about something. And the second vega is the manasa vega, the vega of the mind. The mind wants to fly away somewhere else. Wherever you are sitting, the mind does not want to sit with you. The mind wants to go somewhere else. Mind has interest in not what I have to do. My mind has interest in what you are doing. I want to know that. What he is doing, what she is doing, what everybody else is doing. Never mind what I have to do, that is not important. So that's the mind's job. When the mind is out of control, mind is running here and there, everywhere. So Rupa Goswami says, this is manasa vega. The mind is restless. Krodha vegam, and angry mind, anger. Jihva Vegam, and the tongue is also out of control. So the tongue can be out of control and talk nonsense. Or tongue can be out of control and start eating, desiring to eat meat or non-vegetarian food, fish, eggs, etc. Or abominable items like that, or some food that is not good for health, that is not good for consciousness. So the tongue can also create a lot of trouble for the person by desiring to eat something that is undesirable. Jihva Vegam. So one has to learn how to discipline voluntarily and especially in these three items that are described here. Body, mind and speech. That is the recommendation of Rupa Goswami. Otherwise the person, simply by eating nonsense food, he can become diseased. He can capture so many diseases. Udaropastha. Upastha means the genitals. If his genitals are out of control, he can catch diseases also, HIV, AIDS, etc. So he can get into a lot of trouble by getting the senses out of control. So therefore, what are the things that cause disaster in life? Or for the devotee, if somebody is aspiring to become a very good devotee, what are the things that will give him trouble? So that also Rupa Goswami is describing. Atyahara prayasascha rajalpa niyamagraha jana sangascha laulyam cha shadbir bhakti vinashyati. How you can destroy your devotional service. Six items he is saying. Atyahara. Eating too much and eating unwanted, just as I mentioned. Non-vegetarian food or something, abominable putrefied food, etc. Beer, liquor, whatever, all these items, they are going in the atyahara category. Bad items and eating a lot, atyahara. Ati prayas, working too much hard for material things. Prajalpa, talking nonsense, gramya katha. Niyamagraha, not following the rules of devotional service properly, or just following the rules but not understanding what is the purpose behind it. Jana Sangha, this is very important. All these problems of not able to control the mind, not able to control the speech, the body, etc. It is coming because of Jana Sangha, because of associating with the wrong people. Asat Sangha Tyagai Vaishnavachar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, therefore, you must give up the Asat Sangha, company of bad people. You must give up immediately. Don't go near them. Don't listen to them. Don't become attached to them. Don't create relationships with them. Why? Because it will destroy your devotional creeper. Jana Sangha, Laulyam cha, and becoming greedy for material achievements. So these are the items that destroy one's devotional practices. And then once he's destroyed his devotion, then what happens to him? In second chapter, text 62, Lord Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. He's now meditating, instead of meditating on me, he's meditating on Vishayan, on sense objects. Sangas Teshupa Jayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Kamat Krodho Bijayate. And because he's meditating on the sense objects, he is developing kama, lust in his heart. And the lust is not fulfilled, then krodha, anger, is generated. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. And because of the anger, angry mood, now he gets into illusion. Sammoha. Sammohat smriti vibrama. His memory is gone. He forgets everything. Who he is, what he is supposed to do. And he starts doing the things that is going to damage him, hurt him. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibhrama. Smriti bhramshat buddhi nasho. His intelligence is lost. Buddhi nashat pranashati. And he falls down in the cycle of birth and death. So this is the fall down sequence that Lord Krishna is giving in text 62 and 63. So there are two sides here, two different results you can get. If you can control your mind, body and speech, then you can go very high, you can become real sannyasi. And if you cannot control, then, as Lord Krishna is saying, pranashyati, fall down. Pranashyati is like vinashyati, vinash. You're destroying yourself, you're damaging, hurting yourself. So, material nature, we are in the material world, the material nature is always doing her job. What is her job? to punish the people who come here in the material world. We saw here just a couple of weeks ago, there was a big punishment came. In South Texas, there was the Harvey, the hurricane came. And it's so much destruction, devastation. A lot of people, they got hurt. They lost their properties. The water went into their homes, into their businesses. A lot of damage. Then 1 week went and there was another one, Irma, in Florida. It devastated Florida. Also, a lot of damage. Billions and billions of dollars of property damage. People got killed, hurt. There's no light, no electricity, no water, no food. So much problem. Government is trying and trying, struggling to put together the facilities for people. It's a very big challenge. What does it indicate? Huh? Puerto Rico, yes. Also now the latest one came in Puerto Rico, right? So many other countries also outside of America, they got affected. There was a lot of more damage even in many of these countries. What are these countries called? West Indies?
Caribbean.
Trinidad, huh?
Caribbean.
That also got Puerto Rico, Caribbean islands. They got a lot of damage too. So, this is the punishment. Punishment is always there, but sometimes you see it in a very big way, like this. And those people who want to understand, take a lesson, they can immediately take a lesson. That this is Kali Yuga. These kind of horrible things, they're going to happen. These are the Prakriti or the Mother Nature, material nature is throwing upon. But there are also man-made problems. The biggest man-made problem that came or has been coming up now is the one dictator from North Korea. He released a video, latest thing that I saw. And he said, we are preparing, our scientists, they are preparing a special hydrogen bomb for you guys. We want to send you as a gift. And he said, don't have any doubt. But we are not going to throw this hydrogen bomb on your country. He gives the whole plan. And he shows the video that this is what we're going to do. He says, nearby your country, we will throw it in the ocean. And there will be a big tsunami wave that will be generated because of this bomb. This hydrogen bomb is thousands of times more powerful than even a nuclear bomb. And the wave is so big that it topples over even 100-story buildings. And it comes rushing inside land and it creates havoc. Massive destruction that cannot be imagined. And he is guaranteeing it. He says, believe me, this is happening. Just watch me. We're just about ready. As soon as it is ready, we're going to come. So he's threatening like that. Every day he's coming up with some threat. So the government and they are very much concerned about these threats. They're taking it seriously. And the scientists in America, they're working very hard. And other countries that are nearby North Korea, they're also in anxiety. Because and even if there is a small country he selects and throws the bomb in the ocean, then it just does not just destroy that country, but the world is so much interconnected that it will create a very major havoc in the whole world. So this is a threat to humanity, basically. And this is the example of uncontrolled mind and anger that we're talking about here in this verse. that Lord Krishna is talking about. That if, what one can do if one goes out of his mind and he has a lot of resources at his hand. He can do a lot of damage. But on an individual basis, everybody in the material world is facing some difficulty, some problems. Either it's a personal problem, family problem, the mind-giving problem, family or community. Some problem is always there. Some challenge is always there. So Srimad Bhagavatam is describing that one man, he is walking inside the forest and suddenly he sees there is an elephant with 6 head and 12 legs rushing behind him to attack him. So he starts running to save his life. But as he's running, far away, at a distance, he sees there is a woman, and as he goes closer and closer, oh, this is not a woman, this is a witch. She wants to eat me. So nearby he sees a well and he jumps inside the well to save his life, that I will jump inside the water and maybe that way I can save myself. But as he is halfway inside the well, he sees there is no water in the well. And instead there is a big black poisonous cobra with his fang standing there. Kundali, you know, in India they say kundali, the snake is just ready. So in the meantime, he captures a small branch that is coming out of the stones in the well, and he's hanging there. And as he's hanging there, there is a honeycomb that 2 drops of honey is dropping every 15 minutes from the tree on the top of the well. There is a honeycomb, and the 2 drops every 15 minutes dropping, falling on his nose and mouth, and he's licking the honey. Sweet. I am thirsty. At least I am getting some honey. So he's feeling temporarily, for a few seconds, he's feeling happy. But again, the anxiety is there. Because the one black and one white rat, they are cutting the branch that he's holding on to. The small twig that he's holding on. That twig, these rats are cutting, the white and the black rat. So this is an analogy in Bhagavatam, that who is this elephant? The 6 head are the 6 seasons and the 12 legs are the 12 months of the year. And the witch that is coming to devour him is the old age. And as he falls inside this samsara well, these rats are the day and the night, the white and the black rat. And who is the cobra? The cobra is the death that he is facing now. After old age, now he's going to face the cobra, the death. So this is what is happening to every one of us. Unless and until we take the hint, the guidance, the instruction that Krishna, Lord Krishna is giving here, and act according to his instruction to get the control over our speech, our mind and our body by the methods that he is recommending himself in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. So then we can become the sannyasi. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya. So sannyasi, so yogi cha, na niragni na chakriya. That is another definition, 6th chapter, text number 1, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is giving of a sannyasi. Anashrita karma phalam. Don't become attached to your fruit of your karma, your work. Do it for Krishna, serve Krishna, dedicate to Krishna, perform Sankirtan constantly. So the best example, who is the best example? Srila Prabhupada is the best example of a devotee, best example of sannyasi we can see. 24 hours he is engaged in devotional service, is chanting Hare Krishna, or he is writing books, or he is reading books, or he is talking about Krishna to someone. All that time, his mind is always making plans how to expand Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And he is busily executing these plans. So we see the real example in Srila Prabhupada, that what is sannyas and what is a devotee. Also in the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see the ideal character of the sannyasi. His standards are very extremely strict and hard to follow, but they are there to understand and follow as much as possible. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives the best example of a sannyasi. Suvarna Varna Hemango Chandanangadi Sannyasakrit Shanta Shanti Parayana. He is the real sannyasi, the best of all sannyasis. So I will end here. If you have any questions or comments, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming back, Vishwambhara Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Coming over to give class.
Thank you.
My question has to do with practical engagement.
Yes.
So, of course, we're talking about the body, mind, and words, and having our body, mind, and words fully engaged in Krishna service. One of my friends, he was bringing up that generally what we're seeing is the devotees, they're talking about philosophy, but they don't have any practical engagement. And one of my godbrothers, he's a lifetime brahmachari, I was asking him about taking sannyas, and he was telling me that, well, there's no practical engagement for sannyasis in this movement, in ISKCON today. He said it's very difficult to have any practical engagement. You're kind of just left on your own. And then one of the sannyasis is a spiritual master. He was telling me that also there's no support. There's no official funding given to sannyasis. They're just...
Sannyasi, it is a valid concern, of course, yes, I understand. But my understanding is, from the life of Prabhupada and... We are just taking two examples, Prabhupada and life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are many sannyasis that we have seen in the history. In our movement also, many acharyas, they took sannyas. So, sannyas means he is totally and 100% dependent on only one person, that is Krishna. He is not allowed to depend on anybody else in this world or out of this world. His full dependence, he has to be Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality, nothing else. That is the requirement for sannyas. So, even though it will be good, it is good if there is other means of support and everything. But the sannyasi, he cannot depend on it. If it is available, fine, good. But if it is not available, he cannot cry, he cannot complain. He has to just go on with his order, the order that his Guru Maharaj has given him. He has to just go on with that and depend on Krishna. So that is my understanding.
This point you're making about Srila Prabhupada's example, they refute it in the sense that they say that Prabhupada, yes, he came single-handedly, he was poor, you know, and then he built a whole institution. But they're saying, but today, you know, if you compare yourself to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's example, you don't see that type of... arrangement for sannyasis. In other words, Prabhupada was the leader of an institution. Prabhupada had, you know, everything was channeled through Prabhupada. So it was very easy for Prabhupada in that sense that, you know, anywhere he'd go, he'd have 20 cars, all the money he needed, anything that he needed. Of course, initially, you could say, well, he didn't have that. His godbrothers, everybody rejected him. His own family rejected him.
But see, Prabhupada struggled all his life, number one. All his life, he struggled to preach Krishna consciousness. After he got the order from his Guru Maharaj, he was constantly trying to preach to English speaking people, first in India, then he came to America, and then he was speaking here, preaching here to the English speaking people in America. And he struggled. He came in 65 to 70, you can say up to 71, 72. There was nothing. There were no cars waiting for him. There were no devotees waiting for him. He mostly in the beginning time, he had to face very big struggle. And just to travel from one city to another, one country to another, he had to depend on one-way ticket. He did not even have a two-way return ticket. He had only a one-way ticket to go from one place to another that some devotees could arrange. Devotees did not have money. He didn't have money. There was no resources. There was no questions of beautiful cars and beautiful homes. It was some rented places, and it was a very big struggle. And Prabhupada, out of all that, he created the temples. He insisted that we should have our own temples in our own properties. And he built the whole institution. But it was a constant day and night struggle amongst all kinds of different problems that we can't imagine, taking those kind of headaches. He had major...
We were just reading this morning, Prabhupada was talking, he was on his deathbed. This is just like a month before he left his body. And one of the Goswamis from the Radharaman temple, Atul Goswami, came in and asked Prabhupada, who will be the proprietor of your properties? And then after he left, Prabhupada said immediately he could understand that there's going to be a whole battle to get his property in Vrindavan and everywhere else. So Prabhupada, he called the GBC together and said, look, you guys, we have to make some type of plan who's actually going to be the proprietor of these properties. Otherwise, these people are going to fight you and kick you out and take away these temples.
Yes.
So even up to the moment of his death,
yes, so always there are challenges. This is material world, and you have to face the challenges. So devotees who are totally committed to fulfill the mission of Prabhupada, fulfill the mission of the spiritual master, they have this responsibility to do all these things and take the headache, take the struggle and face it and come up with a solution to preserve whatever Prabhupada has built and given us, and to develop and expand the mission at the same time. It's a very big challenge. And Prabhupada said that you can only do it if you chant Hare Krishna properly. If you don't chant Hare Krishna very nicely, properly, you will not be able to solve the problems.
Another question I have is about self-appointing oneself as an authority of Krishna consciousness or as a sannyasi. You know, we have basically two schools. We have one school that's saying everybody has to follow the GBC, everybody has to be, and then they're awarded sannyas or they're awarded position. Then we have another school that said, well, my guru fell down, you know, the GBC's made so many problems, and they self-appoint themselves as a guru or a sannyasi, even put on saffron, award themselves sannyas or go, without getting reinitiated, saying, well, now I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, and then ask someone to give them sannyas, and then they become a guru.
See, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj is the example who took sannyas himself in front of the picture of Gorkishwadas Babaji Maharaj. But he is a very exalted, pure devotee Vaishnava, and this example should not be imitated. But rather, by following Prabhupada's instructions properly and following the guidelines of GBC, one should carefully, gradually move forward. I am of that opinion. Rather than taking the law in your own hand and think that I am the self-effulgent guru, next acharya, so let me put the picture of Prabhupada and take sannyas in front of him, or, you know, do something like that. I don't recommend. I wouldn't.
You know, because we have even the GBC's main point that our discipline succession is through instruction. Like I was talking with one lady about, she was saying her guru had fallen down. And I said, well, are you considering reinitiation? She said, well, I got initiated three times. I'm tired of it now. She said, now I just consider myself.
All these are different situations one goes through in his life. Because Krishna is in complete control, and Krishna is controlling every devotee's life, whatever situations he has to go through, that is good for him, and that is very good. That is the best way that Krishna has found the solution for a particular devotee in every one of our case. So we have to very patiently move forward, having complete and full faith in Krishna and Guru, and keep on moving forward in our chanting, in our preaching, in our sadhana, and always pray for the mercy and blessings of Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, and depend on Krishna. But basically, regardless of how many gurus you go through, or regardless of how many challenges you face in your life, the bottom line is that every devotee must fully depend on the mercy of Krishna, and every devotee must fully depend on mercy of the Guru and serve the Vaishnavas.
I just have one more question, if nobody else. You know, this thing about maintaining...
Anybody else has anything about sannyas?
I have one more question, Vishwamvarapu, and I'll turn it over. I mean, I know. I've been speaking with you for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Here's the other question I have. It's about, you know, the sannyasis maintaining themselves, because it seems to be a problem from what I can understand. You know, they're getting older. If somebody's got medical problems, they have no money to pay for their medical bills. Somebody can't afford to travel anywhere. They're stuck in one place. It's a whole grihastha community. They're a sannyasi. They feel out of place. You know, there's little things like that that I've seen and heard. But my point that I want to make is, or a question I have is that, you know, there's some men that save up money, put the money in the bank, and support themselves as sannyasis like that. And they seem to be more together. But then there's another group that says, well, that's not real sannyas. Real sannyas means you should give all that money to the deities, to the guru, to the temple, whatever, and you should be penniless. Like Prabhupada gives this quote about a Brahmin being a beggar, and even though he receives $1 million, he'll give it away in charity, and the next day again he'll be penniless and a beggar. So that's my question. You know, in other words, do we work in a practical way, or is it all about full surrender and just complete dependence on Krishna in the sannyas stage?
The principle is complete dependence on Krishna. That is the principle established by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the principle Srila Prabhupada followed. And all the devotees in ISKCON, not just sannyasis, but all devotees, they are supposed to follow that principle. Now, every individual devotee, whether he's sannyasi or grihastha, anybody, that as much as he is able to manage his life in a practical way, that he can be happily performing devotional service. He can be happily engaging in preaching work, happily engaging in devotional service. That is the main thing. That is the practical application. Nobody can say that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did like this, so I have to do like this. Everybody, every sannyasi has to do like this. The standards that are described here by Lord Krishna are even more severe. Many severe standards Lord Krishna is recommending. Uddhava, he followed ditto what Lord Krishna told him. He followed those standards. He went all the way to Himalaya. So all of these things are there, historically fact. But the main thing is that how much practically you are able to happily chant Hare Krishna, how much you are able to study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and teach others, distribute the knowledge, distribute the books to others, how much you are able to happily take part in the Sankirtan movement, whether you are a grihastha or a sannyas or whatever ashram you are, how much That you have to see and figure it out, and you have to take the guidance from the senior Vaishnavas for that purpose, from the devotees or from the authorities or from your Guru Maharaj, and do what is practically good for you. You should not become desperate that and feel bad or depressed because the old age is going to come to everybody. Disease is going to come to everybody, one way or the other, at one stage or another. So how you find your solution, and while struggling with this bodily discomfort, how you are able to solve your own problem on spiritual platform, how much you are able to stay on the spiritual and how much you are able to help others to come on the spiritual platform. For that, how you can arrange your life in a happy way. That is the practical application. It's not like somebody else is going to make my life happy. You have to figure out yourself how you are going to become happy. All right?
Thank you, Vishnu Mahabhu. Very nice class.
Thank you.
I think that Narottam Prabhu was making a lot of points about material arrangements, but I think that's missing the point of sannyas. A sannyasi must be a brahmana, and brahmanas teach. And so there's plenty of teaching to do. There's plenty of devotees that need to learn shastra. There's no lack of need for teaching. And the sannyasi is the best person to do it. He can teach full time.
Full-time teacher.
I think that's plenty of engagement. I don't think you have to be flying around the world. You don't have to have big projects. You don't have to have lots of money going through your hands to be a sannyasi. I don't think that is important.
Yes. Yes, you don't have to be a flamboyant sannyasi. You can, at your own level, you can become a humble sannyasi, and you can do full-time teaching, full-time preaching, and depend on Krishna's mercy. Krishna arranges everything. Krishna, there are plenty of examples, and of course Prabhupada's example is the extreme, coming from extreme hardship to extreme success, all the way from one way to the all the way to the top, from the bottom to the top. We can see in Prabhupada's life the journey, but every sannyasi doesn't have to go through that kind of situation. The struggle may be less severe, and the results may also be less flamboyant. There may be more humble results, but Krishna, he appreciates humble devotee equally. Krishna doesn't discriminate like you have to be the greatest devotee, then only I look at you. Krishna has a different standard. So Krishna is always there to help, and devotee has to fully learn how to fully depend on Krishna primarily. This is the verdict of all the acharyas, all our books. They are saying the same thing again and again, that just learn how to depend fully on Krishna, whatever ashram, whatever situation you are in, learn how to depend on Krishna, depend on his mercy, and do the best you can do.
This point about, you know, being a full-time teacher, for example, my godbrother, he works with the Bhakti Viksha programs, and he goes to China part of the time of the year. He goes to China 3 months, and then he works in Houston. And he was telling me, you can teach, like at a Bhakti Viksha class, for about 30 minutes twice a week. And then he felt China was better because, you know, you could just walk to like English corners or go to college campuses and meet people and talk to them. But he found it much more difficult to do that here in America. He found even he was getting arrested or stopped. And so he said, like in the temple, you can give a class like this maybe once a week, and then you can do a couple Bhakti Viksha programs. Maybe at the VIHE in Vrindavan, you could teach like a regular course every day for 1 month. But the thing that I'm hearing is those opportunities really aren't there.
For any devotee or any sannyasi or anybody, right now the preaching is so much expanding so fast. When I go to India, I see it. That you can travel from temple to temple and you never run out of engagements. You can travel from festival to festival, from Rath Yatra to Rath Yatra. So many things are happening constantly, practically speaking, every day. So there is no shortage of engagement for a devotee or for a sannyasi. That's what I've seen in India. There is no lazy moment. You can be busy all the time, 24 hours there. And in America, you may have to struggle a little bit and figure out a way. But it is worth it, even here in America. The struggle is worth it, because if you can convince even one American, that is like worth convincing 100 Indians. So either way, you know, the struggle is always there, but you have to find your solution. And as Prabhu mentioned, that you can be a full-time teacher if you don't want to do anything else. You can go select your place and become a full-time teacher. You're very happy as a Brahmin, as a sannyasi. Your job is to teach. So
I just wanted to say that I don't think a sannyasi who depends on Krishna would have such a negative attitude about the ability to make things happen. I think Krishna can make anything happen, and what a silly attitude to have. Of course, I know a lot of your arguments are you're just throwing out straw man for us to attack, but, you know, I think there's plenty of teaching to be done here, and many people are looking for answers, and you have to be a little patient, but you could create programs. I think you have to be creative in Krishna's service, and sannyasis certainly have the time and energy to devote to something like that. Anyway.
It's a good point.
I'd like to expand your point about one Westerner being equal to 100 Indians. That sounds a little controversial.
In China, he said the same thing.
Yeah, one Chinese person, the real Chinese guy, if you can convince him to become a devotee, that's like, you know, convincing 100 Indians or 1,000 Indians. They're so rare to come. They don't know the philosophy. They don't have any idea. The word God is not there in their dictionary. There are so many obstacles they're facing, and to convince them is going to take some effort, real effort and your time. But it is worth it. So, you know, wherever you go, there's challenges always there, but we have to face challenges. That is what life is about.
In this discussion, it seems to be one thing missing is the word sankirtan.
Sankirtan.
I mean, the sannyasis I know, I mean, Srila Prabhupada, he was distributing books.
Yes.
He came to America, and throughout the winter of 1965, 1966, Srila Prabhupada's only source of income was what came from selling his books.
Yes.
And after he got disciples, he engaged them in distributing his books, which was a way was a practical way to preach and then make money at the same time. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I noticed he started off going out on Sankirtan, and then he spent the rest of his sannyasi days organizing Sankirtan, and yes. Prabhupada made sure there was book distribution at every event, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj's job was to make sure that there was books and books being distributed. So if a sannyasi wants engagement, he can go out and distribute Prabhupada's books.
This is a very good point, actually. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Money comes in, and then there's books.
Because Prabhupada, as you mentioned, he came here to America with nothing but books.
Not just a school
teacher. And he established his movement on the basis of the books. And as you mentioned, Tamal Krishna Maharaj Gurudev, he was one of the best amongst the book distributors, and he created the whole party of book distributors, the world best book distributors. And there are many other examples of great sannyasis in our movement who have not only personally distributed tons and tons of books, but who have also inspired and made other devotees of book distributors, hundreds of them. So there are plenty of examples of sannyasis engaged in the Sankirtan and taking the book distribution as the main order of Srila Prabhupada and sticking to it.
I have a practical example. Prahladananda Swami, when I lived in Philadelphia Temple, one Christmas marathon, Prahladananda Swami came, and for the whole month of December, he went out every day distributing books.
Went out every day.
Prahladananda
Swami, I remember Prahladananda Maharaj in Chicago. He used to distribute books a long time ago. So he has been a steady book distributor and inspiring his devotees to do the same, creating book distributors. And similarly, there are many, many Maharajas in our movement who are not only the best book distributors, but they are creating hundreds of book distributors all over the world. That's happening right now. So sannyasi is not just limited to some particular, there are not many examples of sannyasis who are like full-time pujaris. They may have been pujaris before, but then afterwards they are inspiring, they may be even creating more pujaris, but you see them also creating book distributors, making many book distributors. So Sankirtan, because we are Sankirtan movement, and book distribution is our main business, so you can say it is sannyasi business. Yes. Very good. Thank you, Prabhu. Very good. Anything else? Like to add? Subtract? Prabhu? Anything comes to your mind? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.